Hey, everybody, this is Jeff Peterson, your host of the Interstate of Music podcast. And with me today is somebody that I'm hoping is going to give me a little bit of an understanding more about today's world as a musician, an artist, an entrepreneur, somebody that's trying to get their brand out there, get their music out there in a way that is marketable, efficient, profitable, you know, that whole profitability aspect of keeping a little bit of the money for your work in your own pocket. I want to ask some of those questions. So we're going to bring our guest today. Her name is Natalie Bailey, and she is the founder of, I love this name, Lady Savage Management and PR. So I want to welcome her to the podcast. Natalie, welcome.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here today.
That's awesome. So from what I can tell, you're Nashville-based?
Yes, that is correct.
Have you always been Nashville?
I have been Nashville for the last 9 years. Okay. So going on a decade. So it's definitely home now. I moved from the Gulf Coast of Mississippi in a town called Biloxi is where I grew up. My folks and family are still down there. So it's very close to New Orleans. It kind of has that same vibe. You know, we definitely full on celebrate Mardi Gras down there, which it is that season right now.
It sure is. We're getting there.
I actually have a king cake currently in my freezer because from down there that I brought back up with me because you just can't find authentic king cakes up here.
Right. And in Wisconsin, like that's just like, that's not a thing. You know, it's like, it'd be impossible for us to find it, but yet we try to celebrate all the most important holidays like Mardi Gras and St. Patrick's Day. It seems crazy that they all kind of center around the same kind of, let's go out and just have a good time atmosphere.
Drinking and parades. Parades.
Drinking and parades, right? And being somebody different for a few hours out of our life. So you're handling, you know, musicians and entrepreneurs and artists and bands in the world of, you know, marketing, PR and all of that. What exactly, if you were to say in a very short descriptive way, what that actually means in today's world, for anybody that might be listening, what exactly, in a little nutshell, what exactly are you there for and what are you doing for them?
So with my clients, what I do specifically is I'm a brand manager and consultant and also a music publicist. Now, when it comes to working with independent artists, a lot of times they think they're ready for PR and a lot of times they're not. Right. And so that's what I'm really passionate about is the artist development, the brand building part of things to get them prepped and ready for, you know, PR, because a lot of times people get confused and they think that PR is marketing, but it's not. They're close cousins, and they kind of toe the same line there sometimes. But PR is basically, in really simple terms, shining a spotlight on what you've already accomplished. And marketing is basically using things like ad spend, influencer marketing, pay-per-clicks to build up to enough something to get PR about.
Yeah. So, and honestly, you know, when you talk about the click advertising, whether it's on social media, you know, the Facebook ads and all that kind of stuff, you're trying to create an expansion of your, let's call it your network, your fan base, people just to know you exist and have you kind of fluctuating through their feeds so that when you do have something that you want to express about them, a new song, a new video launch, a new tour, you know, tour dates that are coming, then that's when the PR aspect comes in. But you have a larger, you know, kind of world that you've built around what you're trying to focus in with the PR. Is that pretty accurate?
Okay. Exactly. Because you're wanting to, PR is basically like getting your fan base that already exists excited about what you have coming down the pipeline or what you currently have going on. You know, marketing is strategically trying to find those people.
Yeah. And if you only have 100 people in your network, you don't really need to do anything with PR. You just basically text them all in a group text. I mean, when it's smaller and more intimate, that doesn't mean you're necessarily ready or a fit for the other tiers of marketing, like PR and all the rest of it. It's more like, okay, let's kind of do this grassroots, but then let's talk about that next strategy on how do we grow it past, you know, friends and family always coming to your shows and supporting you, and how do you start reaching out and getting exposure to people that didn't know you exist that could easily become your fan because of their demographic, because their genre likings, the way that they're out on social media and other artists that they've said that they like or they listen to, and you go after them that way. And I think a lot of musicians and artists and bands, it kind of, in a lot of cases, it stops at the point of them building their own Facebook page or Instagram page or YouTube channel and putting their music out there. And then all of a sudden they start getting likes and shares and they think, okay, I'm doing it. I know how to do this. But there's so right. much more depth to it if you're truly trying to make this into a career or at least a really important part of your life.
Right. And I mean, I started out my journey as an artist myself, and I was a touring and recording artist professionally. I ended up getting a development deal with, you know, a label, and, you know, was very young, but I made some stuff happen for myself. And that's kind of how I found out that I had a passion for management.
When did you start being an artist for yourself? Like, was this high school? Did you go to college? When you decided to tour, did you like have a job that you said, screw it, I'm quitting and I'm just doing this music thing? Like, tell me about, like, what were you doing? What was, like, was it a band? Were you just an individual artist, a vocalist? Tell me about it.
Yeah, I started very young. I started at like 16. By the time I was 18, I knew that I wanted to take music as a career path. And at that point for me, that meant playing live shows, building a fan base, cutting songs and EPs and all that good stuff. So I just started doing all that stuff kind of for myself. I didn't come from a music business family background. I had no idea really what I was doing. I just had people, like songwriters I looked up to, and kind of wanted, like, independent songwriters I looked up to. I was very into like underground music since I was very young and just liked seeking out independent bands and artists. So I would see what they were kind of doing, would reach out to other independent artists, which is how I ended up getting set up with my first tour. It was with another solo guy. You know, he had an acoustic guitar, was a songwriter. He brought a buddy with him. I brought a friend with me. We just, you know, loaded up the Yukon XL, had our merch, had our sound set up, and we toured from my hometown on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi all the way up to New York City and then back down. We did that in about a month and a half. Doing stuff like that.
And was it so grassroots that did you have a tour set up of gigs, or was it just like, hey, we've got our phones and as we're traveling through cities, let's just call people and say, we're going to be in your area 3 weeks from now. You got any spots for us? And you just call all the venues and the bars and all the things along the way? Or did you really try to schedule it out before you even got loaded up?
Yeah, we definitely always had a schedule and a plan. Those plans did not always come to, you know, fruition, because that's just the life of an independent artist. And, you know, when you're like starting out, like, you know, foundation level, like showing up and playing for like five people kind of thing on a sleepy Tuesday night in a town in Ohio you've never been to before, and just doing those sorts of things to cut your teeth as far as like live performing and letting anyone know that you even exist is just really important. And I know that social media is humongous and like the be all and end all of everything these days, but So I was going to say is that my artist roster, I pride myself on having what I call true artists, like they are really about the craft in their songs and what they want to express to the world. And so they have maybe more of a hard time sometimes with social media than others these days, a lot of other new artists. So I always tell them, and even though it's been really crappy with the pandemic, but moving out of, you know, coming out of that, like, you have to build your fan base live. Like, you have to meet people, like, face to face. That's how true artists, I think, make fans for life, is when there's that live experience. Yeah, TikTok and, you know, IG Reels and all of that stuff is important, and it's cool, and it, you know, it does all the things that it's meant to do, but there's nothing that can replace that live music and, like, building a fan base in that way, to me.
I'll be honest with you. I agree with that, because I owned a bar for 7 years, and I only booked original artists from all over the Midwest that would come through, traveling from Minneapolis to Chicago, and we were just outside Milwaukee. And I know the stress that an artist has of, like, setting up and making that effort, and four people are in there. But I think there's also that reality of, you know, when you talk about fans for life, that interaction, you know, we say, oh, it's great if you go to a college and the teacher student ratio is 16 to 1. That should transfer over a little bit to when you're gigging out, when you're first starting with original music. And that fan, you know, that viewer to your gig ratio, you do get a chance to talk to them more, interact, create a level of connection that does last a lot longer than just, you know, a huge massive concert that somebody goes because they like your music, but they really don't know the artist. So who's the next hot artist that comes? Then they start liking them. And do they give up on that other artist because they're not as relevant right now? And I think the fans for life thing matters. Now I'm going to piss both sides off of artists that are doing the social thing first and doing it really well and monetizing and focusing on the monetizing side of it and really not wanting to go out and play in front of five people. So then you've got the people that are playing in front of five people and basically saying, why are you just doing it that way when you're building it five people at a time, and you've got these people on social that are getting, you know, 700,000 followers and hearing your music more regularly than the person that's going out and gigging in front of five people at a time. Both have their pros and cons to it, and somewhere in the middle is where it needs to be, right?
Yeah, not to be all, like, hippy-dippy and to be all, like, non-business, because sometimes I can lean that way because I did start out as an artist. But
I love that.
You know, I don't think that artists were ever meant to be marketers. Like, that's a whole nother job. That's a whole nother side of the industry. Like, and you know, but now artists are almost, like, required to be that for themselves. But that's where I feel like
so
I
much,
want to make my
so much,
dent in the world. It's like, yeah, by helping those artists who are the true artists who feel like, you know, I need help. Like, what's my strategy? What's my next move? How do I get my art out there? Like, I'm there to kind of, like, coach them, if you will, and be their champion.
Here's the tough question for you, though. I get what you're saying. I wish it was always that way. I wish that's the way it was. Honestly, me personally, I'm old school in the way I look at it. Although I love finding artists on that thing they call TikTok and Instagram, because it's easy for me to rifle through and find so many so quick. So it's convenience for me. I like the convenience, and it's connected me to a lot of cool artists. However, when you go that artist route, which I wish it was that way and it would stay that way and always be that way, but when you're you and doing your business and you're suggesting, hey, you need to do this, because you can't be there with, you know, your iPhone and videoing, you know, them doing something behind the scenes, or, you know, them trying a new song, or, hey, let me know what you think about this one. You're not there all the time for them. How important do you think it is for them to have a consistent presence on the social platforms? And how do you get them to not just be an artist, but have some level of understanding of, hey, you got to put the phone in front of you and you got to connect to fans that are out there, because I hate to say it, but it is part of the world. How do you get them there?
Yeah, 100%. Get them there with a lot of encouragement and a lot of, you know, I wear so many hats in my job, and definitely mama bear sometimes is one of them, but, you know, and being kind of like a coach, but also kind of getting tough with them sometimes. You know, I've definitely had clients where, like, I call them for our, you know, biweekly meeting, and, you know, I've had one person, they were like, I know exactly what you're going to say about social media, and I promise you, like, I'm going to start getting on it, and I'm going to have it all planned out, and, you know, and I'm just like, okay, take a deep breath. We can do this, you know, and we can sit down and we can make a plan and we can be strategic about it. And you can set aside a certain chunk of time every week to plan out your social media content, you know, so it doesn't feel overwhelming, because I get it. Like, it might not be overwhelming for, like, the 17, 18, 19 year old artists who are new and coming up, because that's right. Just the way it's
that's
always
how they've
been.
Done it. Yep.
But even the artists who were, like, in their mid-20s, like mid to late 20s, who were, you know, breaking through and about to take that next step, but they still have to, you know, focus on social media and get that done. So I definitely have to play, you know, good guy, bad guy sometimes on the social media stuff. But yes, you're right. It absolutely is so important. And as much as we would like for it to be sometimes the old school way, that world just doesn't exist anymore. People aren't getting discovered at, you know, open mic nights, and they're, you know, A&R people are looking on applications like TikTok and Instagram. So you absolutely have to have a presence there. But here's the thing. I was just telling someone this the other day in the consultation, use those platforms as a tool. Don't view them as, like, the be all end all. Just look at them as a tool that you can use right now, and look at what's trending and what other people are doing. But 9 times out of 10, that's probably not going to work for you, because that's not you. You're
that's
you.
Not authentic. Yeah. You've got to find
out. You have to find out. Yeah. And I said, if it makes you feel cringy, Don't do it. But if it's totally something that you feel like you want to put out there, express and do, and you feel good about it, put it out there, trial and error, see what, you know. I had a client go have a TikTok video go viral. It had nothing to do with her music, right? It was a video of her walking down the street with Fleetwood Mac's Landslide playing in the background. And the text said, one day you're a kid, the next day Landslide makes sense. It got almost 1 million hits.
That's awesome.
Thousands and thousands. I know, I love that too.
Yeah, it's really good. That should be a t-shirt.
I know, right? So
yeah,
it
that's
blew
strong.
Up. It blew up, but she was smart and she went back to the top of the comment thread. She pinned a comment that said, glad we could all relate on, you know, this, you know, sad quote or whatever. But also I'm an artist too. So here's my Spotify page. And she got Spotify followers that came over from just that post. I mean, did she go blow up and it, you know, change her life overnight? No, but it's like a little by little kind of,
it is.
And you have to be consistent with it too. That's another huge thing, is consistent. Just keep doing it. And just keep finding out what your fans and what your friends, like, connect with and want to see more of, and then keep doing that.
How does somebody, this is, and I don't want you to, you know, throw prices out and what you charge and all that. That's not the purpose of this question, but how does somebody afford, when you're an artist that is playing these low pay gigs, sometimes no pay gigs, to cut their teeth and to go try new music and do all these things, how does a person find a spot where they can have somebody that has the knowledge that you have, that they know they need? How does that affordability come in? Is it just like, hey, you've got a full-time job and you're doing music on the side? Your full-time job has to start affording me to help you make what you really want to be your job. Like, that's got to be the hardest thing to get people to understand that, yeah, you need to make money for your skill sets and what you bring to the table. And how tough is that conversation with artists that are like, man, I just don't have a budget for that.
So basically, I mean, if an artist doesn't have a budget for it, they're probably not in the place to hire someone like me specifically. So I'm, you know, it's a rarity these days. You know, back in the day, there was lots of like personal artist managers who would like scout for people, and they would sign them, and they would take like 15, maybe 20% of their total income. And, but they were like involved in every aspect of that, you know, made decisions, like negotiations, all of that. But that doesn't really happen that often anymore, or at all, really.
It's too hard to put a bunch into an artist that you don't. It's so hard to get an artist to pop nowadays. I mean, it's harder now because it's just so flooded, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of entertainment attorneys too. That like it was way more common back in the day that like they would be doing the same thing, like, you know, negotiating record deals for artists and things like that. But there's not really much. It's not very lucrative for them, you know, anymore either. But yeah, when it comes to setting aside a budget, it's definitely something that I tell artists that they need to just prepare for, just like they would prepare for paying for recording.
Yep.
You need to take into consideration what you're going to be paying for marketing and press and brand consultation and all of that with what the project you've recorded. You don't just want to spend everything on recording and then have nothing left over to get it out there.
Right.
So I've worked with artists who've had very successful crowdfunding campaigns. One artist completely funded a full album and PR marketing support funds with a crowdfunding campaign because she had, and it wasn't like it was thousands and thousands of people. It's just that she has a small but dedicated fan base.
She's able to reach out, right? Yeah, they want her to get to that next level. Yeah, that's super.
Exactly. That's so cool. Yeah. Yeah. So cool. And some artists feel like, oh, well, I could never do a crowdfunding campaign because like nobody would contribute to it. But I've always tried to encourage them and tell them, just put it out there and trust me, like you'll see, you know, kind of people, you know, show up for when it matters, and then you'll find out who your fan base at that point really is, and then you'll be, and then that's kind of a good thing. It's a little research for you, so then you know like who the people really are who are going to like show up and put their money down and, you know, support you and want to see you succeed. So I say to definitely give that a try if you know you don't have any other options. But yeah, every musician I know in Nashville has a full-time, part-time job, something like.
Yeah, you've got to, the end of the conversation really comes down to, you've got to work and invest as if it's your own business, because it
right.
is.
It totally is.
If you're a person that feels like music is still something you're doing, you know, in your free time, nights and weekends and all this kind of stuff, and you're not looking at it as a financial investment to get to the next level, you're right. They're not ready to have real conversations with somebody to do something for them because they're not ready in their own mind of thinking it that way. And that's a hard, I think that's a hard reality for a lot of musicians, is either they're making a bunch of money gigging and they're like, oh, this is supplementing my income, so I don't want to put any of that into somebody else. So it is this, it's got to be a constant struggle for you. And probably so many of your initial meetings, you know, with artists is really kind of just finding what their pain points are and what their dedication level is.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it is helpful when publicists or brand management, you know, firms put at least like their starting rate somewhere on their website. I found anyway, just to give you like a scope of what we're talking about. Like, it's in all transparency. Like, let's probably not book a discovery call if you're not ready to start at that point. And also to be transparent in this conversation, I give a very big, I guess what you would call a discount for what normally like you would pay for PR services. Like I do try to help the independent artists out as much as I can, but you're still paying for a high, you know,
high-level experience and skill sets.
High-level experience and skill sets and service. Absolutely, 100%. Because I was going to say also, I'm part of a lot of groups online where artists will pop up and be looking for PR representation or something like that. And they only want to spend like, you know, $300 or $400 a month. And there maybe are some people who take them up on that. And it's just kind of like you get what you pay for. Yeah, at the end of the day,
you're not getting any sponsored ads or any expansion of your market with $300-$400 a month.
And, right, it's just not realistic. Yeah,
it's just not. And I think that's got to be part of it. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, I can tell by your personality and tell from you already just in this short period of time the reason why you're probably more kind to the up and comers because you were one. You've done it. You know the struggle of it. And let's face it, you probably have an ear for certain genres of music that you're like, this person is legit and they would benefit from having me. And I'm going to prove it to them because I think I'm going to take their product, and let's just call it a product at this point, and be able to get it out there. And it's going to benefit both of us. So yeah. You've probably taken on some projects that you sit back and go, I don't know why I keep taking on some of these projects because there's so much work for not enough pay. But then all of a sudden it pays off 6 months down the road.
Yeah. I mean, you nailed it. Like that's a huge privilege and advantage I have of owning my own company and getting to choose my own projects, is there's literally not anyone on my roster right now or a campaign I'm working on that I'm not super excited about. You spend your time, where you spend your time is where you spend your life. And so like, yeah. If I'm going to be spending my life with these people, like I want it to be good stuff, you know, right. And not right. only it to be great music, but it to be a great relationship and a back and forth. Like I just emailed somebody the other day after just letting me give them a brand consultation, like release strategy. And I was like, thank you for allowing me to help you like do this because yeah. songs are so special and important yeah. to the songwriter and the creator of them. And I get that. And I'm
there's
like
a lot of trust in you
yeah.
that they're going to treat their, their project with the respect and the care and
totally.
The passion behind it that they have. Cause that's really, yeah. people will hold on. Like I hear so many times like, oh, I've got so many original songs that are just sitting here and I haven't done anything with them yet. And I'm like, it's gotta be just because they don't know how or don't know if it's the right timing or they don't have somebody they can trust to take because each one has a little personal story behind it, you know? And, mm-hmm. and I'm like, how do you have 25 songs sitting there that nobody's heard anything from? And yeah. you don't have an album out yet. You don't have a 5-song EP out yet. You haven't put this out on social, even the one little hook in it for people to let you know, oh my gosh, I love that. That meant so much to me. Can we hear more? And it's, you wonder why. And you're right. It is because it's so personal to them and they probably are just kind of conflicted on how to do it.
Yeah. How to do it. And again, like who to trust with it, you know, like, I don't know. I just don't fake with people. If I'm not into something, I just really, and I tell them that I just don't think that I would be the right fit to sell it, to pitch it. And then I hope that they, you know, and if I can recommend someone, if it's really just not a fit, but I think there might be someone who could help them that I know, obviously, like I'll refer them. But yeah, I definitely only work on stuff that I truly believe in.
That's awesome. So, you know, before we kind of, you know, part ways here, what are a couple of projects that you've taken on that you just really, you know, feel personal about, was a big passion for you that you want to kind of share as far as artists that are up and coming, ones that we should kind of pay attention to or, or, you know, click into right now that you've got cooking that you're like, people should hear this artist. Who do you have right now?
Okay, it's going to be hard for me because like I said, I'm a mama bear and I love all my babes. But yep. I did kind of earlier differentiate between brand management consultant and personal artist manager.
Yep.
I do have an artist who I do personally manage who I am super excited about. we met 2 years ago at the middle of the height of the pandemic. Her name is Bridget Ryan. And we started from ground zero to when I say, like, she's never released anything under the name Bridget Ryan ever until we got together. So in that time span of when she, you know, we did all of the brand development, the photo shoots, the graphic design, the website, the media kits, had the perfect producer, perfect band, got the EP mastered, all good to go. Less than a year of us being together, got her a feature in American Songwriter magazine for Daily Discovery for the final song on her full EP. She is an official showcasing artist this year for South by Southwest.
Unbelievable.
She has gotten DSP support from Apple Music, Pandora, and Tidal. She was a cover artist for Tidal for one of their playlists last summer when her EP came out. So the fact that we have accomplished that together in such a short amount of time, that's a testament to both of our badassness, I say, on just like, we're both
savage.
Very ambitious.
Savage.
Savage. We're lady savages. She's a lady savage for sure. I'm honestly like, in the next few years, like, I just really believe, you know, something is going to come out of it, because, you know, you can make a career out of music with the combo of hard work, talent, and connections. Yes. So we're just going to keep moving, you know, keep chugging along and doing what we're doing. So,
well,
that's one project I'm really excited about, but I really am excited about all of my artists who are on my PR roster right now.
Can we see all of your artists that you're working with on your website?
Absolutely. So if you go to my Instagram, which is Lady Savage MGMT, and you click on that link in my bio, it's a link tree, and it has all of my artists' websites just right there. So you can go see Bridget, you can see Heather Batchelor, Dawn Pedigo, Sarah McCullough, and Steffi Giraldo. And everybody kind of lives in the very solid songwriters, true artists. They all kind of like are in the Americana, you know, vein. Bridget is kind of venturing out a little bit to a more like pop rock sound mixed with Americana. So it's very, very cool what they're all doing. It's just really special. So check it out for sure.
Well, just listening to you talk about the journey you had with Bridget and have with Bridget really kind of explains and showcases the variety of things that you can do for an artist with an artist, and some of the challenges that you've run into. Clearly, if you're going to hit all those categories of what a musician is trying to get exposure into, there's going to be so many challenges that are built in with each one of those. And to be able to navigate through that, it's impressive to hear what you do and how you manage it and how you handle it and your passion behind it. And it's been great to get to know you, you know, in this short period of time. So I kudos to what you're doing and the baseline of where you come from with it and the authenticity and the passion that you have for it. And it's been really great to get to know you. This has been awesome.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Oh, it's been awesome talking with you. I really appreciate you having me, and I wish we could keep talking forever. You're awesome.
Well, I appreciate that. And I want to let everybody know, you know, when you're feeling like you're stuck or you just need, you know, a nudge or some advice or some expertise, you know, obviously Natalie is there for you, but this is a world that needs a whole bunch of Natalies in the world. And when you talk about being a fit for somebody, that's what's key. Don't give up because the one person you talked to, it didn't feel right. So the whole concept isn't right. That's not the case. It's keeping to that concept and going out and talking to a bunch of different people and finding the fit. And I love the fact that you're open and honest about that concept, because, you know, there is going to be somebody that is going to be a fit for every artist that's out there. And I love what you're doing, because I think it's necessary. I think it's important. And in today's world, it's so hard to navigate everything that you just talked about that you're doing for Bridget. And I'm really excited to get to know more about you in the future by following you and also just checking out those artists and doing our best to elevate them and let people know they exist out there and give a listen. So Natalie Bailey, you are a lady savage for sure. Love the name, love who you are, and keep in touch. We'll talk soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeff. I'll talk to you later.
You bet. This has been the Interstate of Music Podcast. Peterson out.